Hello, good afternoon. Welcome back to YG.
Well, a lot of you look very nicely dressed, huh?
Next week got another wedding, well, it's like three in a row. Yeah. So next week got no YG. Anyway, Pastor Mark, I'm sure will talk to us about that later. But welcome back. It's good to see all of you here. So let me ask you, have you felt that you have been unfairly treated before? Any of you? I'm sure in the course of our lives, we all have. Yes, thank you. I'm sure we have, right, in big or small ways. So a few months ago, I bought a voucher for Lazada. And then, well, name and shame. Then I used it to purchase something. But the voucher was not enough, so I topped up cash. Then Lazada cancelled the order. Then they gave me back my cash, which was a very small percentage, like maybe like 1% of the thing. And then they refused to refund my voucher for the order that they cancelled. So I asked them, hey, how can like that? It's like, you know, you're taking my money, then you cancel my order, then don't pay me back. Then they say, oh, it's company policy. What to do? Right, so I mean, this is a very silly, small example, because, you know, felt a bit simtia lah. But this happens to, being unfairly treated or having things not go your way happens to all of us. And 2 weeks ago, before the first wedding, thanks, Edward, Pastor Mark went through this verse, Ecclesiastes 9:15. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. So you can only imagine how that poor man felt, right? I mean, this one is a major injustice. This is a major problem. And this will happen to many people, maybe not in terms of delivering a city, but I'm sure it's happened to you at your work before. And these things will happen. These things will happen. And it's surprising, right? I mean, the time of Solomon when he wrote Ecclesiastes, now, forever, it will always happen. Why? Because people never change. We are all like that. You know, we have done things to people, people have done things to us. And so when you have been unfairly treated or, you know, have suffered injustice, there's a lot of bitterness, right? But do we want to let that bitterness take over us? So today we are going to learn a new song that the title is Not Unto Us. See, Clem, you confused me just now. He said Unto Us. Was it you or Jerome? Jerome, yeah. Yeah. Not Unto Us. When our focus is always on us and ourselves, it's very difficult to see beyond a certain level. But when our focus is on something higher, then perhaps, you know, it's something that we can hold on to, because things are going to keep happening. Unfairness, injustice, bad things will happen. But if we can look onto something bigger, that's wonderful. So this is a new song. Sorry, I couldn't find a song in VIP. So we will learn a new song today. I'm going to get Heart of Grace to come up. And we will sing the third verse. And if we could look at the lyrics of the third verse. It's hopeless. Okay. Hopeless lies the road ahead. If in our strength we go, our only hope to run the course is in your strength alone. Every battle, every race, won by your empowering grace. When our fearful faith is small, God of grace, you give us all. Let's really look to God. Look to God for everything, because only in looking to God that we will not be troubled or discouraged by the things that happen around us.
Okay, thank you, Jane, for leading us and sharing with us. Very nice song, and truly, all glory to go to God. Okay, let's pray and then we can begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for wisdom that you give to us, that we can make good decisions in life. We pray that you will just continue to be with us even as we study your words. May your word continue to enlighten us and encourage us to seek after wisdom and to see how wisdom can truly make a significant impact upon our lives. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's look at Ecclesiastes once again. And we're going to go into chapter 10. So just a quick review of what we learned previously. And we were looking at how we ought to appreciate the great worth of wisdom, right? Wisdom is greater than strength, human strength. wisdom is greater than a loud, foolish ruler. So a ruler can make all the noise, but he may not be all that wise. Wisdom is greater than any weapon that man can manufacture and use, right? And we want to be able to continue to look to wisdom, how wisdom can deliver us from difficulties of life. And if we truly pursue wisdom, the path of wisdom, we would be able to find good reward, but it may not be a path that people will appreciate. In fact, it can be a thankless path that you take. So that's the thing about wisdom. Not everybody is going to appreciate the wisdom that you have. But yet, it is something that we want to be able to treasure. And ultimately, we want to affirm that it is God that brings about that deliverance at the end of the day. Okay, let's go on to chapter 10 now. And what we're going to see in chapter 10 are Solomon's proverbial sayings. So it's a little bit like Proverbs, but he's going to highlight a number of wise sayings that is going to help us learn a number of things, especially in how we can appreciate wisdom. So let's look at the first saying, verse 1. Date flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cast it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. So let's talk a little bit about the making of perfume, and I'm sure this would interest the ladies a little bit more. I know that sometimes guys also put on perfume. Okay, so in ancient days, the art of being a perfumer is something that is truly, it takes a lot of skill, right? And just to share this with you, you turn with me to Exodus 30. So in Exodus 30, even the ointment that is used for anointing, this is something that is mentioned. So in Exodus 30, verse 22. Right? And we read about this idea of, Okay, this is about the burnt offering and how it is a sweet aroma that is given. I think I got this. Anyway, that one of the things that we will see. Okay. 22, right? Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also, take for yourself quality spices, right? 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels. 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. And it shall be a holy anointing oil." So we see how this is also important as part of the making of the anointing oil. The art, the skill of a perfumer is involved, and we want to be able to appreciate. So they will use all kind of natural material, whether it is myrrh, frankincense, spikenard, so scented oils, incense. These are things that are used, that a perfumer would actually include in what he is seeking to do. So the greatest care is involved in making such a perfume, right? And therefore, you would guard the perfume very carefully, especially when you have insects flying, and right? So when you have dead flies in the ointment, wow. That is truly irritating, right? Frustrating, actually. Okay? So let me ask you this question, right? When you have a dead fly in ointment, the whole ointment is spoiled, right? It would end up being destroyed. There's a foul odor. And all the hard work that you put in making this perfume is all gone. Right? So it becomes a problem. Now, why did the fly get kicked out of the spa? Why did the fly get kicked out of the spa? Because he was the fly in the ointment. Anyway. Do you get a joke, Noah? He's the fly in ointment that was used for... Never mind, it's okay. Anyway, it's what we call a sticky situation. Okay, the one you get it. But I think you get an idea of why... I think you get an idea of why if you have dead flies in ointment, it is something that becomes very... You probably get very upset about. You get very frustrated. You need to do everything again. After all the hard work goes down the drain. Now, this has to do with reputation. So look at verse 1 again, Ecclesiastes 10. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. Right? And I thought this was an interesting saying. Meaning, you work so hard in developing wisdom and honor. And sometimes it will take months, years, to be able to develop a reputation of having such wisdom. And we want to be able to appreciate, right, that when you become someone, you have built that reputation over years. And you are known for that kind of understanding, that wisdom, that honor. You want to be able to guard that reputation. Right? Why? Because a little folly to one respected. That's exactly what happens when you suddenly, because of that folly, which is the fly or flies, and it just spoils everything. It spoils the reputation, it spoils your, reputation, whether people would respect you. That becomes a problem. So whether we are looking at the context of our workplace or whether it's in the context of service for the Lord, for me as pastors, we have not so much that we are trying to look for that kind of reputation, but we do have a reputation to protect. As pastors of Bethany, as leaders of the church, we want to be able to have a certain understanding as to how we look at ourselves. For all of us here, as servants of the Lord too. That's important. You have worked hard. You're not young people anymore. You're not trying to build a reputation. You have a reputation already to a certain extent. Of course, some of us are still fairly new to the faith. Some are still fairly new to growth. Sure, understandable. But many of you have been in church for many years. And you want to be able to maintain or develop even better reputation of wisdom, of honor, of faith, of life, of service for the Lord. And we want to be able to protect that. Right? Because all it takes is a little folly. Now, this is not the first time that Solomon talked about this. Let's turn to chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 1, somewhat related, he says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Right? We recognize that this ointment, this precious ointment, they are not cheap. You're talking about hundreds and shekels of and the amount you're talking about, you're talking about something very expensive and very precious. So a good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. So it's good to be able to appreciate that reputation that you have. What kind of reputation you have is something that you have sought to develop over the years. You are young adults. Some of you are looking at middle age and even more, right? And what kind of reputation do you have? And sometimes it just takes a little folly here and there, and you can undo a lot of things. So as a pastor, that's something that I got very carefully. I really want to be able to be a pastor that is an example to others. And so does all the other pastors. And that's something that we want to continue to do, right? I'll give you an example. I'm sure you heard of Ravi Zacharias, right? For 40 years, he was one of the so-called leading Christian apologetics in America and all over the world. Wrote many, many, many books. And people looked up to him for answers. How do you deal with this question? How do you deal with that question? But in the end, it came out that there were certain things that he did that were wrong. And suddenly, his reputation went down the drain in more ways than one. So it's important for us to learn this. And Solomon is right in saying that all it takes is some date flies that will spoil everything. So we need to be able to guard ourselves carefully, our reputation, the way your testimony, the way you live your life, the way you do things, the way you serve. And that's something for us to truly consider and to think through. Okay? Now, this is also related to the next part, which is verse 2. And he says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Now, do you know that how many percent of people are right-handed? You know? Of course, we all know that most people, but how many percent? Make a guess. 85. Do I hear somebody else? Angela? Sorry, again? Oh, my nose is 90. Thank you for observing. Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. 90%, that's right. Okay, so most... Okay, how many of you are right-handed? Whoa, actually, most of you are right-handed. Any left-handed? Oh, okay, some of you. Not 10%. But generally, yeah, most people are right-handed. Okay? So when he says this saying, right, a wise man's heart is at his right hand. Now, what is he trying to say? So a right hand represents what? Most of us do things with our right hand, right? It is the hand of strength, and also it is the hand of righteousness. It is the hand that is truly wise and right. So when you talk about a wise man's heart, so, of course, this wise man, his heart is full of wisdom. And with that kind of heart, he guides his right hand. His right hand would be able to do things that is good, right, in the eyes of God. Right? He would seek to do things with strength, because he's confident that this is good, this is right, and this is what we ought to do. The right hand will lead you in the path of righteousness. And you know that this is what we want to do. Now, then he goes on to say, but a fool's heart at his left. So what is he trying to say here? So most of us are right-handed. Then he goes on to say, a fool's heart is at his left. So what is he trying to say here? Yeah. Goes contrary, meaning what? So if you are a wise man, you have a wise heart, you would, your heart, your wise heart would guide your right hand. But if you are foolish and your heart is full of foolish understanding and it ends up guiding your left hand. The left hand is assumed to be weak and wrong in its ways or unrighteous. So that becomes a problem. And so the question is, are we more right-handed or are we more left-handed? Now, nothing to do whether you are right-handed or left-handed. So don't get confused. The point is, the right-handed is guided by wisdom. It is righteous in its ways. The right hand will lead you because of a heart of wisdom on the path of righteousness, and which is good and right. But if your heart is foolish, it will tend to go to what is the left hand. And you will find that there is weakness and there is the path of foolishness and unrighteousness. So that becomes a problem. Now, so what do we do? Do we do what is right in the context of whether work, context of family, context, or even church? Now, I don't know whether you read about this. The Anglican Church has a new archbishop, right? And the Archbishop of Canterbury is the Archbishop of England, who is also the Archbishop of the whole Anglican Church, 85 million people. And recently, they appointed a woman archbishop. So, of course, most have sought to accept this, but not all. So this week at SSP, I was talking to one of the ladies who joined us at SSP. She's not from our church. She goes to another church. So I was just talking to her, and she was telling me, so I was asking her, which church do you go to? She said, oh, I go to an Anglican church. And I say, your church, you know, the Anglican church just appointed a female archbishop. And she said, yeah, you know. So she was upset. So the thing is that not all the Anglican churches actually follow the main church in England, Church of England, and so on and so forth. In fact, this lady used to be the chief nurse of England. Yeah, and she used to be the nurse. She was a nurse, and then she became the chief nurse. And then after that, she became, you know, she felt the calling of God, and she decided to become, a priest and so on and so forth. Sorry, a bishop and so on. And ultimately, she became the archbishop. So, of course, for us, that's not quite correct according to the scriptures. And we want to be able to be very clear. Even in the context of church, what does the Bible say? How do you know that this is the way? There is wisdom, there is righteousness, that is what is good and right. The Word of God states it very clearly. For us to be able to understand and cultivate a heart of wisdom. When you cultivate a heart of wisdom, it will guide your right hand. It will help you to make good and sound decision. And this is what we want to be able to appreciate. Right? Because there are many things in this world that would require us to make good decisions. Wise decisions. Right decisions. Decisions that are going to make a difference in your life. But if you're not, then it becomes a problem. And we end up making foolish decisions, then that will actually affect who we are and even our reputation. That becomes a challenge. All you need is a little folly, and that reputation is affected. Okay, what do you think? Okay, Gabe, what do you think?
I think it's a very interesting imagery about comparing wisdom and honor, the reputation that's been built up with ointment. Yeah. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of attention to detail.
Precisely.
And then just a fly to come in, which sounds so sad because it's not even your intention sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not your something that you've done wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could have guarded better. And I guess that is the warning, right, for us to be a bit more careful. But I guess, in terms of reputation, we can't seek to be sinless, but we do seek to be blameless.
Yes, absolutely.
As people.
You're right.
And in whatever positions that we're at and wherever we've been placed to serve at, we seek to be a good example and to be blameless. But it's true, to see how fragile this reputation and blamelessness is
absolutely
quite scary.
Yeah. See, at the end of the day, what you're saying is your testimony. We all have a testimony to shine, to show to others, right? It's not that it is to brag, or that's not the point. The point is who you are, how you live your life, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the context of your family, in the context of church. And sometimes all you take is a little bit of folly, a slip up. You're not guarded enough. You're not conscious enough. And you allow yourself to falter. That becomes a problem. Now, it doesn't mean that we cannot pick ourselves up and to restore things, seek the Lord's restoration and all that. I'm not saying that we can't do that. We can. But as they say, prevention is better than cure, right? And I think when it comes to reputation, to regain that good reputation is not easy. Right? It takes a lot. Especially the question of trust. Once you lose that trust, how are you going to regain that trust? It's going to take a lot. Even the question of wisdom. Alistair, what do you think?
I think at this age, sometimes I assume that I'm wise enough, or like I understand, I've seen enough, and I don't guard my heart, I don't cultivate a heart of wisdom.
Yeah.
And then I end up maybe having a moment of folly.
Yeah.
But then I realize how dangerous that may be, because that could affect your reputation, affect your ministry, affect your life, and it also affects the family also. I think
that's absolutely
something that I have come to realize, and to not assume that just because I'm a bit older that I understand a bit more, therefore wisdom naturally comes.
Yeah. So what you raise up is important, right? Sometimes we assume that naturally, as you are older, you'll be wiser. But that may not be true. The question is, wisdom is something that is gained. It's not something that will just come naturally. It is something that you pursue, something that you look for, you search, and you understand, and you make good decisions along the way, and that becomes part of who you are. But sometimes we tend to take things for granted. We can't. And you're right. Sometimes it just takes a little slip up here and there. Joe, what do you think? Since you look that you are thinking very hard.
No, I think I was also looking at it from the standpoint of how one person's folly, while your own reputation may be destroyed, could impact a lot of people around you.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, you talk about Ravi Zacharias, and he was someone that I actually revered a lot.
Okay.
I read a lot of his books. I watched a lot of his sermons. Even my master's thesis, I quoted him. But then, and then that thing happened.
Why would you quote him for your master's thesis?
He had a topic about the issue of sin and issue of self.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, but that's a different thing. Yeah, but I was hit very hard when that thing about Ravi happened.
Yeah.
And I was quite at a loss for a while. I didn't...
Yeah.
I was like, I read all these things. I learned so much about faith and so much about...
Yeah.
And I struggled a bit at that time. So realizing that actually all it needs is just that one fly.
Yeah.
And the impact it didn't, not just to me, but I guess it happened to a lot of the Christian community.
Correct.
Yeah. The testimony is just completely burnt. And it's so hard then to speak of faith to anyone else.
Yeah.
At that time.
And you're right. It affects people. Right? It affects the people around you. It affects others. It affects many. So we want to be so much more careful and guarded and wise in our ways. Yes, unfortunately, that is the fallout that came about as a result. But for what? Right? For what? End of the day. And yet, you know, we go beyond. We really have to go beyond. The thing about our understanding of faith and God and His Word, and it goes beyond any individual. No individual is, we all are sinners. Now, one of the things that you're going to learn at a family camp, and you're going to recognize this, is the question of holiness. And our understanding of holiness and God's understanding of holiness may not be quite the same. And especially when we look at, even for ourselves, in terms of our service. So as we prepare, even as pastor teaches us and guides us, I'm beginning to realize even more how much we have to rethink about this idea of life, our lives before God, and this whole question of holiness, right? And it's important. It's important for us to look at our own walk with the Lord, our own path that we are treading. And if we end up with something that is foolish, look at this. Look at verse 3 now. Verse 3, it says, "Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool." Now, that's the thing, you see. Every one of us can make a choice. And what kind of choice we make would lead us on a certain path, whether it is a path of wisdom or the path of foolishness. Yet, at the same time, whichever path we choose, it will also reflect who we are. It will show. Right? If we reject the path of wisdom and we seek to walk the path of foolishness, it will be truly evident. It will manifest itself in more ways than one. Foolishness is something that cannot be hidden. It will show itself. So this is what he's trying to say. He lacks wisdom, right? When a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. And he shows everyone that he is a fool. And sometimes the person may not even see that for himself. Or he may understand it to a certain extent, but not fully. But yet, at the same time, he continues on that path of foolishness. It will be evident to family members, to your relatives, to friends, to colleagues, to church people, to all around you. I must tell you that this is something that I see again and again and again. Where we take that path of foolishness, it will show itself and people will know. That is how we want to be able to see this. It will show. It will show to people. It will show to many, to those around us. So I was just sharing with you about a problem that I had to deal with. And I thank God that is a problem that has been somewhat dealt with to a certain extent. It's not over in it, but yet largely addressed. But it just reveals so much more that this person that was trying to is just very, very unwise. Just very, very unwise. And it just repeats. The problem with foolishness is that sometimes people make the same mistake again and again and again and again. You know, say someone who is drawn towards gambling, right? And the person gambles and the person, you know, has a lot of debt and you're trying to help this person. Now, I'm not saying this is the case for me, but I'm just talking generally. And you try this help, and you try to help this person. But the person says, okay, I'm going to change. But you know, the person doesn't change. And after a while, things die down and the person is drawn back to gambling. And the person doesn't seem to understand how foolish that is. Where hard-earned funds are just thrown into, you know, gambling or any other thing. And it just shows to everybody how foolish this person is. But that's what we see. That's what we see in the world. That's what we see. And the time's not very far from us. We have known of a person that may be part of family or relative or friends who have gone that way. And the question is, have we also learned to be that much more wiser in our approach? You know, when we think about how we want to live our lives, if not, we can just end up be caught up with our foolish thoughts. So it takes diligence. It cannot be one-off. If we really want to be able to say, I want to really develop a far more, you know, reputation that is wise and understanding, full of understanding, it is going to take diligence. And this is something that we cannot slip up at all. It takes consistency. It takes a daily consciousness that we are going to make good choices. As a young person, we may have made not that wise choices. Sure, that's understandable. You're still growing, you're still learning, and there are times in which, and I'm sure all of us have made those very unwise choices. But as you say, as we grow older, the stakes become even more significant. The stakes are higher. Because now you may have a family, you have more influence, it affects more people. And therefore, diligence is what we need. We need to be consistent. We want to be able to learn consistency. And that is knowing wisdom, wisdom that is in the heart, and that we will do all we can. So if we recognize that this wisdom that we have is truly precious and valuable, then we want to guard it very carefully. Right? And not only that, we want to be able to see how that would, okay, so when we think about this idea of diligence, it will also direct us. It will show us the way. As a heart of wisdom would show the right hand what to do, there will be that direction. And you know this is the right way. You know that this is the correct way. This is how things ought to be done, rather than compromise, rather than a way in which we would end up, you know, just being very unwise. Right? And this is what we want to be able to do. Okay? And truly, we want to be that much more determined. Okay? Not only these things, but determined not to be foolish, to guard against foolishness, to not choose foolishness at all. So when we get married, you have a greater responsibility already. How you choose and what you do affects your wife or your husband, your family, and the people around you. right? And especially when you have children, even more, there must be that wisdom. What kind of father are you going to be? Seriously, are you teaching your children wisdom or folly? The thing about families is that for children, they actually observe. Sometimes we tend to think that we can do whatever we want. Actually, no. Children observe. They pick up things. They pick up things from you as parents. They pick up things from the schools, right? Sometimes they will use words suddenly. Hey, where did this boy get his words from? Well, precisely the point. They are observing, right? And they learn. And they pick up things. And they can pick up things that are wise, or they can pick up things that are foolish. And that's something that we want to... So therefore, when you talk about determination, we must be determined to avoid all the things that are contrary, that are unwise. Right? We want to be able to be diligent. Right? To have a heart that is wise, that would set us on the right direction. And when you do that, there is the great reward. And sometimes, yes, of course, we want to be able to have the reward. But sometimes just being, you know, being wise in our ways so that things are normal, things are okay, things are good. You get what I mean? Rather than to choose something that would have consequences. What I'm trying to say is, not having consequences is also good. You get what I mean? Right? And of course, if you don't have consequences, then of course the assumption is that there will be good. But just avoiding the consequences. And we want to be able to be wise in our ways. Right? So this is something for us to learn this afternoon. And then the next time when we meet, we will look at what it means to be a ruler. And how do we understand rulers? And I don't mean the ruler, measuring ruler. I'm talking about kings and rulers of countries or anything. So that's something for us to think about. Okay, I'm going to close. And then I'm just going to flesh out the groups. I'm just going to explain a little bit why we have sought to make this changes. Okay, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us. Help us, Lord, to continue to appreciate the value of this wisdom, and especially in being able to build a reputation of having that wisdom. Help us to guard it diligently. For we recognize how a little folly can undo many things. Help us, Lord, to continue to develop and cultivate a heart that is wise, that would set the direction for our right hand in how we should live, to walk on a path of wisdom and righteousness. And we pray that you will help us to determine that much more, to guard ourselves against any foolish ways. And we pray that you will continue to lead us and guide us. We pray that even as we give an offering, you will bless this offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.